Clear out your jisms. Here we go. 3, 2.
I want to take us on a little side quest.
Goku's one of the greatest anime heroes of all time. He's badass. He's awesome.
Dude, hands down, Final Fantasy VII wins every day.
How could you not love the Mario Brothers movie?
RoboCop kicks everyone else's ass.
And that's why Superman sucks.
Oh, the Velociraptors kick ass in Jurassic Park every single day.
Yep, went on a bit of a rant there, huh?
Oh, welcome back, everybody, to the SideQuest Podcast. It is Friday. Did you know that? I hope you did. And I am so happy today because we have the one and only Mr. Philly Machine with us. He is here. Once again, thank you, Mr. at Angry Gym Teacher, Mr. at T. Feline. Mr. at, I don't even know what to call you anymore, but thank you for coming to the show, Mr. Tom.
Thank you so much for having me. And just Jim or Angry Gym Teacher is fine. Yeah, that's good. That's what I am now. I've become the Angry Gym Teacher.
Angry Gym. All right, I'm going to call you Angry Gym. And I'm so happy you could join us because you know what? Tonight, we're talking about the first main quest of the day is 90s comedy. I love nothing better than a 90s comedy movie. So, as our guest of honor, Mr. Jim, what is your favorite 90s comedy movie and why? I mean, putting you on the spot immediately, why? Give us it all.
I'm just going to go straight for Tommy Boy. That's the best, the greatest 90s comedy movie for me. I mean, I idolized Chris Farley. I could talk about him easily for the next 60 minutes. I don't know if you want to dedicate the whole podcast to Chris Farley, but yes, we could if you want to. I'd be totally down for that. But Tommy Boy, I mean, I was the chubby kid in, like, I don't know, early, like late elementary school, fourth, fifth grade. I idolized him because that's who I wanted to be. I was not an athlete. I was just silly and goofy and fat. And that movie, I think I have every line pretty much memorized. It still holds up. I love watching it. I watch it at least once a year, and it's just great. I love it.
And so how did you do in school, Mr. Tom Feline? I mean, were you a C average student? Did you do better than, you know, Tommy Boy?
Yes, I was not like the slacker, like the class clown type, because I was also very much a coward. So I never wanted to like goof off too much in school. I kind of did what I was told and flew below the radar, and I did pretty well. I think I was kind of like a B student, I would say.
Like that. Well, nobody cares about your schooling. Tell us more about what made it a good comedy movie for you in particular.
For me, it was just that as like a little kid, I definitely appreciated the slapstick aspect, you know, just watching him get slapped all over the place and his head stomped by a cow and he's just getting sprayed with water and he runs into the rotary girder and just knocks himself unconscious there and then says a naughty word that we can't say anymore in 2022. So I think as a kid, I appreciated the slapstick aspect there. And then as an adult, I just love just the, like every line. It's one of those movies where every line is like a perfectly delivered punchline of a perfectly written joke, you know?
I love that.
So I pick up on little subtle things, little nuances. Like I find something new every time I watch it. It's just, it's just a perfect movie for me.
I love that. Well, Mr. Justin over there and Jeff, sure. I haven't talked to you all at all. So Justin, favorite 90s comedy movie of all time. Where are you at? What ballpark are we in?
It's tough because Mr. Angry Jim just stole a big one out from underneath their feet. And yoinked. Obviously, yoinked me from the front and the back end. So I'm going to go a little bit different. It's a it is also includes Chris Farley in a lesser role, but late Bob Saget, late Norm MacDonald. Can we just take some moment to talk about Dirty Work?
Ooh, oh, yes, wow. We can. Go for it. Dirty Work time.
What is this, 1998?
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
This was a movie that I did not see in theaters, and I remember walking through Walmart in like 1998, and it was out on DVD already. Like, it was in theaters and DVD like simultaneously, and being like, oh yeah, I remember the trailer for this movie. I'm going to pick this bad boy up and throw that into my newly purchased DVD player, which is probably like $275. It's just this is such a cool movie because it's so like such a small scale, but the same way what Angry Jim is saying about like every line is memorable and quotable, and the performances from Artie Lang, the delivery from Bob Saget as director, the ending, well, he's dead, goodbye. Chevy Chase is in this movie, for goodness gracious.
Yes, he's on the poster, and I love that the poster is like Norm MacDonald trying to be a badass. Like, I'm throwing it in the Discord right now, but you guys got to see, this is Norm MacDonald's finest. He was like, wait, you guys want a picture of me looking down and pointing to the sign? But I did see this movie in theater, Justin, so I was one of those. I'm so happy.
Good man.
And the trunk. Tell him about the trunk.
with Champ Kind?
Yes.
He plays, oh my gosh, what's the character's name? Tommy, you're going to beat me to this, but...
No.
Butthole McGee. Butthole McGee, I think.
Doesn't matter. Whatever.
Jeff, something about buttholes.
I've never seen so many dead prostitutes
fart noise.
Trunk before.
Lord knows I have.
Oh, yeah, you have.
That's a movie where, again, perfectly written, where you with Dirty Work, you could literally turn it on, close your eyes and laugh just as hard because like the imagery is almost not even necessary. Like the dialogue is just that funny.
Yeah.
Yes. And what was it? Artie Lang, right? He was the
Artie Lang.
He was the co-pilot in that movie. Oh my God.
Don Rickles. Cameo from Don Rickles. The theater.
Oh my gosh.
He was the guy from Night Museum, right? That's what he's famous
for.
I think he's in that, right? Jeff, correct my math. He has no fucking clue. Jeff, I'm going to move to you. I love Dirty Work, but Jeff, favorite comedy movie of the 90s, where are you at?
I mean, I can't say Tommy Boy because Tommy
Yoinky.
You know, I was always a huge fan of Wayne's World. I watched that many, many times with my older brother who like was obsessed with it. So that was always on, but that was more because he was watching it and stuff. I mean, I also love Beverly Hills Ninja, which was,
oh God,
I mean, come on. That movie's so fucking good. I mean,
okay, time out. First time out. When's the last time you've watched it? Because I have recently rewatched it.
3 years ago.
It showed up on Netflix.
It's so good.
It's still great.
I recently rewatched it too.
With Liu Kang.
Liu Kang. So I'm so glad that we're all on the same page.
Isn't it?
Mr. Angry Jim, you had a story and I interrupted.
No, I was just going to say that I also recently watched it and I absolutely died laughing at Chris Farley going to, what is it, the Zen place? Where everyone is just kind of floating and talking and it's all chill and quiet and all meditation-like, and then he's just like floating in the background. I hate this! Like, typical.
And he fucking is at the end with Liu Kang in a wheelchair. No! And he flies off the cliff. Why does he fly off a cliff in a wheelchair off the California coast? Why?
Oh, God.
As a writer, Justin, tell me about it.
Because it adds up. it's perfect. That's why.
It adds up. Jeff, what the fuck was your movie? Oh, my God. That's where they took inspiration from, for sure.
It's Wayne's World. It's Beverly Hills Ninja. It's Groundhog's Day. It's, oh, I mean, there's.
Well, I'm gonna tell you.
And then, of course, you know, obviously, I'm not gonna tell the big one because I know you're gonna drop it.
I'm gonna
because
drop
I just
it.
Let Eric drop his.
Well, before I drop a big, you know, surprise on the crowd, I want to talk about my favorite movie from the 90s, comedy. I think it might be surprising to most, maybe some people out there, but Major Pain is my favorite fucking 90s comedy. I will watch it through entirety. Doesn't matter if it's start, you know, 15 minutes till it ends. That movie is hilarious to me. Every part of it.
You took Major Payne over Biodome?
Yes. Sorry, what? Pauly Shore. Sorry.
I do not know.
He's a part of this discussion later on, but fucking A, dude. When I look back through all 90s comedies and I look at my life, you know what? I watched Major Payne the most. I did.
Okay.
Little engine that could.
Oops. Can you, though? And what's her name from Fresh Prince? Can't beat her. But guys, I got a question. So, Mr. Angry Jim, I want to know, what made, I feel like 90s was a very iconic comedic stage in movie history. What made it so iconic? What made him so great? Like, what are your thoughts on why, if any era of comedy was great, why was it the 90s?
I don't know. You might not like this answer, but I don't know if the 90s were iconic or if it was just still it was still too early for devices and social media. Like people, the way people absorb comedy now is so different. Like you can just pull out your phone and pull up a sketch or like a short video or a quick joke or a meme. And I think in some ways comedy is kind of more fit for that format because it's just shorter. Whereas in the old days, if you wanted to laugh, you'd go to a comedy and there were these comedy movies. And I think back then people just appreciated it a lot more. And I think for me, at least, I look back on the 90s with so much fondness just because of the nostalgia. I mean, that's when I grew up and that's when I first started really enjoying movies and really developing my own sense of humor. So I think that's what it is for me. I don't know if it was something special about the 90s or if it was just, I don't know, perfect time for us.
Yeah, you were a young lad. I mean, you had Chris Farley, Adam Sandler, Jim Carrey, Pauly Shore, you had all these greats when you were growing up, and it was just one of those times where I guess the universe said, hey, all of us were going to be born around that time. Who the fuck knows? But, I feel like the 90s...
Because the 80s had greats, too, and the 70s had greats, you know?
They did. They really did, and maybe it was because VHS just started to come out too. Maybe that was
the 90s were very physical comedy. I mean, Chris Farley was a very animated.
Yeah.
And he was like Peter Sellers. I mean, back in, you know, the 70s and stuff with the Pink Panther, he was, I don't remember any other actor, comedy actor back then that would just literally abuse his body in like the funniest ways.
Yeah.
Ever. I don't know if you guys seen the Pink Panther, but, or Doctor Strangelove or whatever. But between then and the 90s, then you had Farley, you know, doing all his crazy stuff. Even Bill Murray to some extent. And obviously in Wayne's World, it's all physical comedy in that movie. And now they don't really do that. I haven't really watched a comedy in a while, like anything that comes out now. And it doesn't seem... I mean, even what is it? With Chevy Chase,
he's like 100.
Yeah, that's again, that's also physical comedy where they don't do that much anymore.
It is definitely becoming a lost art because, like I said, people get their comedy through a little meme, you know, a little picture with two little lines of text on it. They get a quick laugh, they show the people around them, then they go back to jerking off. whatever they were doing.
Oops, circle jerk. Oops. I mean. Well, like
little white tip.
I mean, like Adam Sandler had a pretty good run in the 90s. Like that was his whole shebang. You know, like Chris Farley was there, Adam Sandler, you know.
Waterboy was very active. I mean, he was, his whole thing was, again, that kind of physical movement.
Just doing the steps 1-2-1-2.
1-2,
to the left, 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 to the left.
You know, but
he's still cranking him out, though. That's what's crazy about Adam Sandler.
He is. And I know people shit on a lot of his movies in the last, 10 years, Tommy?
Yeah.
But, honestly, he's had some good ones. Even if they're, shit of the shit.
Oh, yeah.
The dude is still making funnies.
Every single movie that he's made in the last, 10 years, even the very shitty ones have at least one scene where I like audibly laugh out loud.
Yeah.
So let me pivot really quickly because I just recently watched this. It's not in the last 10 years, I don't think, but can we just talk about Jack and Jill really quickly?
Ooh. Yes.
Ooh.
Oops.
Yeah. I had never seen it, had no interest in ever seeing it, and we randomly watched it about 2 months ago. And the night shadow or the night sweat or whatever the shadow of sweat that she leaves on the bed sticks with me every single night.
Oh my God.
I've never seen this movie. I've never wanted to. I just have seen all the Razzies. And this is probably the only Adam Sandler movie I have not seen. But I don't know what that is. And Tommy, it sounds like you've seen
it. No, that's why I'm laughing. Because I've never seen that one. But I think I remember. Wasn't that in the trailer?
It may have been. So she gets so. Maybe it was called a sweat shadow.
Yeah,
it's one year. You get so sweaty while you're sleeping, and then you roll off the bed, and then there's a sweat shadow of the position that you were laying in all night. And I was like, "Damn, that's good.
That is good. That's what I'm talking about. There's always one fun, even if it's just from the trailer. There's always one hilarious moment in all of them.
And I think this movie that you're talking about won like the most Razzies ever. Razzie Awards, the worst of the worst awards.
Oh, I'm glad you had to explain that.
Well, you know, just for the
first time listeners,
for the claws of the world. Hey, oh, Razzies. Oops, Jeff, did you say that? But like,
I think everyone knows what the Razzies are.
But like, I just, you know, it's interesting that a guy like Adam Sandler has gone from, you know, what we call the top of the world to maybe the middle to bottom well of the world. I mean, what is that about? Did he lose it? Is he not writing movies anymore? Like, why is that, Justin?
So I'm glad you called on me, teacher, because I'm gonna flip the script on Angry Jim real quickly. But I think comedy is very cyclical. It goes in cycles. I can't talk. And what we find funny between 1989 and 1994 doesn't hold up from 95 to 98. And then you get Will Ferrell and Vince Vaughn, and you get all of these other, and then Ben Stiller becomes a thing. So I'm just curious, because it's like Will Ferrell is a great, I love a lot of Will Ferrell movies, but then I watch something like, it doesn't matter, because a lot of his movies suck. And they're unwatchable.
Yeah. No, I get it. I mean, like, I feel like there is a comedy in the 90s, and probably like, you know, Angry Jim was talking about, is that when we're growing up, I feel like most things are funny. And most movies are funny because either A, we don't understand it, or B, because it's a little bit raunchy and we're like trying to get there, or C, that it's like, hey, I just want to laugh just to laugh. I'm not here to see a drama. But I feel like the 90s was such a pivotal moment in comedies where the internet was just coming out, cell phones were just coming out, and it was like the last of the last of the last of like slapstick comedy, physical comedy that could really, I don't know, like ring some importance to your life and something that you can relate to. I feel like nowadays it's tough to get a comedy movie that really hits all the bells. I don't know. It's just...
Yeah, so here's a cycle. What's the most recent comedy you guys watched that was funny?
Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Ooh.
Hilarious.
I have not seen it yet.
Me neither.
You like it? Like skis?
I'm not saying that it was a good movie. Did I enjoy it? Yes. Did I enjoy it because I like the slapstick of the original two Ghostbusters movies? Of the third, I have not seen. Now we have the fourth iteration, which now supersedes the third, and they're going to release a DVD collection that does not include the women. Call it what you will. Paul Rudd, hilarious.
I like that. The most recent movie I laughed out loud at, it had to be Kristen Wiig. And what's her fucking face?
Maya Rudolph?
No.
I just assumed.
No, it well, actually, I don't know the lady's name, but it was Barton Starr, Go to Vista Del Mar. It was fucking hilarious.
Oh,
it was
I a remember one-off. That movie.
It was very, very odd. Hilarious. I've never so unexpectedly laughed at multiple scenes before. I know in movies nowadays, it's like, fuck, I'll laugh at like two scenes out of an hour and a half. But this movie made me laugh a lot.
For me, it was Deadpool and Deadpool 2, which... You know, they're kind of double genre there. It's the superhero movie, but I also think it's, I mean, it was pretty much a comedy. So that was it for me.
That's a really interesting point. So I want to take us on another quick side quest. Is Ryan Reynolds an action star or a comedian?
Ooh.
The two genres are kind of blending now.
He's a comedian.
Yeah, with Marvel. Marvel especially is doing that.
At his core, he's Van Wilder. Hysterical. Yeah.
And like Bob Odenkirk just came out with an action movie. Like the two genres are kind of like, I feel, kind of merging into one.
But is that not what Ghostbusters was back in 1984?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, I guess it depends on what their history of movies are. Because you think of like all those guys together, you know it better be a funny movie or else the ghost is going to get it, you know?
Oops.
Choke the ghost. Oops.
Oh, Dan Aykroyd getting a blowy from a ghost.
But, like, I mean, Ryan Reynolds, I feel like he's a better comedic actor than action. I like him in action movies, and I've seen, like, Safe House and all his other bullshit movies, but, like, I feel like he's a great comedian. Like, Van Wilder, for me personally, set the stage for who that guy is. Great, you know, cheers to Canada for making that specimen of a human. But I feel like he's a great comedian. He needs to flourish more in the comedy space. I feel like out of all his roles, he loves Deadpool the most.
Oh, for sure. He was very elemental in getting that movie made.
Yes.
Yeah, so let me take this side quest in a slightly different direction really quickly. What about when you take a pure comedian and put them in a serious role, like we've seen Jim Carrey do in The Number 23, Adam Sandler in Punch Drunk Love, Vince Vaughn in True Detective? Is that worth watching to you guys?
I'll speak for Jeff. If they do it right, I feel like it can really hit the mark and they can really do a good job, because I feel like some of the best actors that I've seen in a long time end up being comedians first. Like some of the, maybe not the best actors, but more so like Tom Hanks. He started as a comedic actor and then it just helped him evolve his dramatic role. And I fucking love it. Like I think they do the best job at acting.
I feel like I rarely enjoy that when a comedic actor does the whole purely serious role. I think the last time I saw that and really liked it was Bill Murray in Lost in Translation. I feel like that was fun to watch. But the other example I think of is Will Ferrell in that movie where he plays an alcoholic who camps out in his front yard.
Oh,
everything must go.
Yeah,
and the whole time I was waiting for him to be funny, and he just wasn't in that film. So I don't know. It's kind of hit or miss for me as far as the comedic actors doing serious movies.
Jeff, what about you? Where are you at?
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I just don't watch too much comedy anymore. I mean, when I watch comedy, I go back to the 90s or I go back to the 80s and sometimes even the 70s with like Peter Sellers and stuff, but I don't watch the new stuff to really know. Yeah, I know, like what Tommy's saying, Will Ferrell tries to do serious stuff. I think the only person who's really done that well is John C. Reilly, who can just, like, nail Dr. Steve Rule, but then be in extremely serious movies. And I think he's almost one of a kind.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen the movie Magnolia?
That's what I thought of just now.
I feel like, you know what? I feel like, honestly, Ben Stiller and Adam Sandler, even though we were shitting on him a little bit earlier, I feel like Adam Sandler does a good job when it comes to the drama aspect of the show. Like, He plays a good, like, hey, I finally found a girl type of guy. And Ben Stiller, same thing. I feel like he's pretty good at, like, I don't know, Along Came Polly. Yes, there's comedy to it, but, you know, he wins Jennifer Aniston over, and you're like, fuck, dude, he did that. I feel like maybe I could do that. And I feel like that's one of those things about the comedy actors. I feel like you could just do that. I don't know. Maybe it's just their superpower.
No, it's the writing.
Well, oh, God. Okay, it's the writing.
Well, yeah, I mean,
and there's a set, and there's a production, and a script advisor, and bullshit. All right, well, hey, boys, I want to move us into our very first segment of the day. Everybody, shut the fuck up and put your hands together for some retro movie. Tommy, don't speak.
Bond.
For 20 seconds.
James Bond.
Okay, don't speak though. And longest 20 seconds ended. I want to talk about a little retro movie that we kind of touched on a little bit. Billy Madison. I mean, Billy Madison is one of those classic. It is your first as a child that we were in the 90s. Your first entryway to Mr. Adam Sandler. Obviously, people before us will know him as a great member of the SNL crew. But I feel like Billy Madison was like the first comedy movie that I felt like we're pushing the boundaries. We're pushing the line. It's him. It's a hot teacher. He's going through this whole mess of being rich and going through school for some reason. It didn't make any sense at all. Somehow it was greenlit. It was a great movie. It made like 20. This is the funniest part. It made $26 million worldwide. Because in this day and age, if you think about it, like, movies make billions. But I just thought it was so funny that this was a big success and it made $26 million. So, Mr. Angry Gym Teacher, I want to know from you, was your first memory recollection of Billy Madison? Was it in your top comedies of 1990s?
I'm hung up on $26 million because that sounds like nothing.
It's not. It is
comedy
nothing.
Comedy back then?
The budget was $10 million, if it helps.
That's nothing.
But no, that doesn't account for VHS and DVD rentals and sales.
So let's round up and call it 50.
I mean, that's why Sandler's still cranking him out. He's poor.
The cobbler.
I love Billy Madison, but honestly I don't think I saw it as a kid. I think I was probably barred from seeing that one because it was a little too raunchy. My parents were very strict on what I saw. I don't know how I saw Tommy Boy.
Oh.
But obviously, I mean, I did end up, I don't remember the first time I saw it, but obviously I ended up seeing it and falling in love with it immediately. Yeah. And I still say one of my pickup lines towards my wife is, that Veronica Vaughn, but I replaced it with her name, of course. But so, that's what I used to say anytime, because we met at Cardinal Fitness in a gym. I worked there, and she did. It was very inappropriate. She was my boss's boss. But anyway, anytime she would walk in and walk by, I would, you know, audibly be like, that Mary Forrest. And, you know,
to the guy
I was standing next to. But, like, you know, she could hear it. I was, like, flirting with her and stuff. But, yeah, I mean... Another one of those movies where it's just every line is just awesome.
Glad I called that guy. Justin, how about you? Where are you at with Billy Madison?
I'm glad you said that because Steve Buscemi's in it. Sonya Blade is in it. Chris Farley's in it. Norm Macdonald is in it. The villain is so great in this movie. And you could have said anything and now we're all stupider as a result. It's an excellent movie. I saw it for the first time, I believe, at my uncle's house when I was probably 9 or 10 years old. And I remember just being like, what the fuck is going on? This is comedy.
Love it. Jeff, how about
you? Mind blown.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't my favorite in the 90s, but it definitely was one that I watched multiple times. It kind of set off the whole, you know, those newer SNL guys getting movies and, you know, starting to break out. I think Adam Sandler was the first, and then Chris Farley and David Spade soon followed. And then, Tim Meadows, yeah, just the whole it kind of set the spark to the rest of them, and a lot of great movies came out of it because of them. So, and there's also just the fantastic scene at the end where he talks about the puppy, and then the announcer for the game show or whatever they were doing said that now everyone in the room is dumber because of it. And yes. I always love that scene. Is just probably the best part of the movie for me. Or just Steve Buscemi being super weird and like crossing his name out at the end, and because he's gonna like just what murder a bunch of people at some point.
Oh yeah, of course.
So yeah, the movie's just full of these weird little things going
on. With the lipstick.
Yes.
Yeah, the lipstick. Yeah, it's such a bizarre scene.
None of it made sense. So good.
Yeah. Like you touched on, Eric, you touched on just the absurdity of this movie. And I think that's something that modern comedies are missing. Like modern comedies are all about the realism and trying to find the humor in realistic situations that we all experience. But this movie was just so ridiculous and so absurd. Like, why is he going back to school? And why does the clown randomly come back to life?
And
the
penguin. Why is the penguin there?
And starts singing. Yes.
Okay, then here's a little question then for Tommy. Oops. With this whole, the absurdity of it, and we're losing that. What do you think in terms of like Tim and Eric bringing some of that absurdity back?
Oh, I love it. And that's what I love about Tim and Eric so much. But they are just so not mainstream, you know? Like, you really have to be kind of an underground comedy fan to appreciate. I know very few people who are
starting to. They were talking about him on Tom Segura Bert Kreisner on their Two Bears, One Cape. They were actually talking about Tim Heidecker and Eric Wareheim. I think they're starting to get, I mean, you know, Tom Segura is one of the extremely famous comedian.
They're starting to get more mainstream and appreciated, but you can't tell me that, like, the average person, if you show them the Man Milk sketch from Tim and Eric, you can't tell me that they're not going to be like, what the fuck is that? This is not funny. It's disgusting. They're sucking each other's nipples.
Comedy guy that you are, how would you describe Tim and Eric, and what would you call their type of comedy? I mean, you're well more versed in the types of comedy than we are. We just like watching funny movies.
Oh, I'm not an expert in comedy. I don't want to. Yeah,
you
mean,
surely know more than the three of us.
It's
you've got your third in the sack, so
it's absurd and it's slapstick, and I'm just word term dropping right now. No, but it's definitely at least those two things that I don't know. It's just funny. I love how they make up ridiculous scenarios and ridiculous words, and you just go around saying those words for the next 24 hours because they're just so funny. They stick with you like Man Milk. And great job. Like I'm a gym teacher now. Every time I say to one of my students, I'll walk past them, and if they're doing something good, I'll say, great job. And I'll think of Tim and Eric in that moment.
It's so job. Side quest question based on the topic at hand. Is there a level of satire that they are doing to sort of circumvent the level of just bullshit that normal comedy is? And then a sub question of that, can we talk about satire for a little bit really quick?
Yeah.
You can talk about whatever you want.
Well, I want to hear Angry Jim. N-word Jim. I'm sorry, Angry Jim.
Me James or Tommy or Tom is fine. You don't have to keep calling me that.
No. I like Angry Jim.
He's so angry.
Okay.
Be angry.
Well, then I would like to be Angry James.
Answer this man's question immediately.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
It's already been asked. Is Tim and Eric like satire at all? And then comparatively, if you look at like what Danny McBride has done with like the Righteous Gemstones, I know Eric, you're a fan. I don't know if Jeff, Angry Steven, I don't know what your name is anymore.
Angry Barrett.
Because that's a satire. And I think
some of it is maybe, but I don't know. I think Tim Heidecker, I think, is done a little more of his independent stuff is a little more satirical than. When they get together, I feel like it's just very just ridiculous.
Okay, because I think that satire is one of the most underrated versions of comedy.
Yeah,
and
if you listen to Tim's podcast at all, Tim Heidecker's podcast.
No, I don't
know. I know he has one. I've seen clips on like Reddit about
one,
it, but
one episode. This is Tim. This is his like satirical side that comes out once in a while. Like he did an entire episode recently as Joe Rogan. And he had two guests, and he literally did the entire Office Hours episode just completely mimicking a Joe Rogan podcast. And he had a Fuddruckers sign behind him because he always makes fun of how Joe Rogan's sign looks like a Fuddruckers logo. And it's just Tim Heidecker talking to these two random guys about like crab salts and how it's the secret to good health and it makes you more masculine if you just go... take salts that come out of crabs and you add them to your food, awesome. But you can't take too many or you'll start hallucinating. Like they did this for an hour. I think it was even longer than that.
Oh, yeah.
So if your question is, do Tim and Eric do satire? Tim definitely does. And he's very good at it. I don't know if it's when they get together though. I don't know. I think it's just pure silliness, Tim which does. Is.
Yeah. Tim did that. So Eric and I used to watch, what was it where it's Greg Turkleton?
On Cinema at the Cinema.
Yeah, they did this On Cinema at the Cinema. It was fantastic. And then it got real dark. And then now there's a whole live court thing. And I remember my brothers, who were, you know, studying for the bar at the time, watched this thing. He did a whole legit mock trial.
Yeah, like 5-hour, it was like Fire Festival or some whatever.
Yeah, all about this fake thing that happened in one of his other series, and now they're at court. And I know, so yeah, I think he's huge into that satire stuff. I know Eric Wareheim's more of a, it seems he's more on the creative side because he does, he's done music videos, he's done, directed a lot of like.
Came out with a cookbook. I have it in my kitchen.
Yeah, it's awesome. I think he's more on the creative comedy spectrum where I think Tim Heidecker's is that. You know, very satire, almost.
Fuck improv. It, we'll do it live. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're both brilliant on their own, but when they get together, it's man milk.
Yeah.
It's so good. Hey, I want to bring us back to a main quest really quick. Because we all grew up, right? We're all children. Now we're adults, right?
I know.
But I wanna know, Justin, let's start with you. Is what did your comedy evolution look like? Like as an example, it started with me, like, you watch Looney Tunes, then you start watching Simpsons, and all of a sudden that wasn't funny anymore. You watch something else. Like, what was your comedy evolution from, you know, last 20 years or 30 years to now?
Did you say you're starting with Justin? Sorry, go.
Go, yeah. Justin. Immediately go.
Back on down.
Go.
I've always been a fan of, like, unassuming comedy. And I used to watch SNL, like, back in the day. I did not understand anything that was going on. They had a skit one time talking about sushi. I don't know. I doubt anybody remembers this, but there was a sushi skit, and this had to have been, like, 1992. And it was like, something new from the sea. It's sushi, fishy, raw fishy. And I had no idea what sushi was because I was, like, 7. But I was like, this is hilarious. And it's not funny at all, but it's hilarious. Yeah. So I've always taken that like absurdist sort of take on what I find to be funny. And so for me, like a lot of it's been like moments in movies or TV shows or cartoons that weren't intended to be funny. But you know, the backbone of it was like somebody snickering.
Right.
So, like, and The Simpsons did an excellent job of raising me. Al Bundy did an excellent job of raising me, didn't understand half of the show. Greg the Bunny was in there. It was just a lot of different TV shows that I just sort of like grew up on seeing, and then that transitioned into some movies. And then Jack Black became a thing. And Jack Black was the apex for a very long while. For me, everything from Orange County to School of Rock was just kind of like, as Tommy mentioned for himself, I was also a husky young boy that needed a hero to relate to. It was not Chris Farley for me. It was Jack Black.
Okay. Very good. Very good. What about Mr. Tom?
Sorry, Justin. I didn't know who was going first, and I usually go first, and then Eric changed it up.
Jeff goes last always, so we're clear on that.
It's wedding night all over again for you.
Right.
Oops.
Oops. For me, earliest comedy memories. So we didn't have cable growing up because we lived on a house that was too far from the street. At least that's what my parents told me as to why we could not get cable. I believe them because I actually called the cable company later when I got older. But anyway, so we didn't have cable. So a lot of the shows that a lot of kids my age were watching, couldn't watch them. But we did have VCRs, and my dad had a collection of Three Stooges tapes, and I have no idea where he got them from. They were recorded, so they must have been on TV at some point, and he just recorded them. And him and my brother and I would just watch these same sketches over and over and over again. Like, those are my earliest memories of, like, actually absorbing comedy and, like, quoting it later and reenacting it and stuff. So Three Stooges, and then a little bit of SNL, but of course only the appropriate sketches because my parents were very strict on what we watched. So anything with Farley, though, was considered safe for my parents. So got to watch all of his stuff on SNL. And then it was his movies, of course. Tommy Boy was huge for me. And then when he passed away, I still remember where I was. I was in my bedroom, like sitting on the floor in front of the TV. And my mom comes in and she's like, Chris Farley died. And that was my first memory of like actually being affected by a celebrity death. Like that really hit me hard. And of course, I didn't know, like, you know, I'm sure my parents probably found out how it happened and then didn't tell me. They were just like, oh yeah, he had a heart attack, something like that, because it was actually a very tragic drug overdose. But anyway, that was a buzzkill.
Oops. Oh boy.
Oops.
Side quest drugs. No,
don't, but do them.
Side quest dare.
Yeah, but I also have a lot of memories too of with my mom, because she was really into sitcoms. Like that was her main source of comedy. So I would watch Seinfeld with my mom when most kids were watching like Nickelodeon, you know. I'd be watching Seinfeld. I think that was probably my first exposure to stand-up comedy, was watching Jerry Seinfeld at the beginning and the end of each episode, you know, delivering his famous dry one-liners. But yeah,
why they gotta be dry?
My childhood comedy journey for me.
Slap some KY jelly on there. Love and it. Warm that bitch up.
Love
yeah,
it.
The rest is it. History.
Yeah, I feel, I mean, like, it started with Looney Tunes, then it got to Disney, but then all of a sudden you grow up, and it was like Disney movies were funny. Like, you know, just slapstick comedy stuff that's physical, and then all of a sudden it turned into, like, you know, Adam Sandler, all the great 90s movies we were talking about. But then I feel like it took a turn. Like, there was Simpsons was funny, and then all of a sudden it wasn't as funny as it used to be. And I need something more. And all of a sudden, like, Family Guy came around. And I feel like Family Guy was like, oh my God, it's so funny. Look at what they're doing. It's so raunchy. It's such a, how was this, like, rated for teenagers on Fox, whatever the fuck channel it was. And then it turned into, like, Rick and Morty. And then it turns into, like, stoner movies. And then it turns into, like, what the fuck makes me laugh nowadays? You know, I'm just trying to, like, get up to the current days. But, like, it's just weird how it goes from, you know, kiddish shit to where we're at today. And I feel like some of the episodes or shows we used to watch in the past probably aren't as funny. Like, Simpsons are still really funny. If you go back and watch them, like, it's funny. But, like, Family Guy, it's almost like...
I got into The Simpsons. I don't know.
Oh, really? Fuck.
Never. Could never get into The Simpsons
for some reason.
I wasn't allowed to watch The Simpsons. My God. Are you kidding?
Boy.
Were you allowed to play the arcade game or the Nintendo games at all? Or was that yes. so bad?
No, that's I the was funny also, thing is I played those.
I could absorb any Simpsons medium except for television. I collected The Simpsons Pogs and I played the games, but could not watch the actual show.
Jeff, I got to know from you. What movies nowadays, I'm not going to go back through your childhood, but what movies today are, like, making you laugh? Like, what do you look for in a comedy movie?
I mean, I don't really watch comedies much anymore, so I'm never really looking for them.
It's just dark. It's ominous. It's
it is.
Just
well, yeah.
Answer the question.
I only have so much time, so yeah. Oh, I don't know. I watch the Marvel movies. I'd say are comedy now. I don't.
Oh, bullshit. I've watched shit.
I can't remember last time I watched like an actual newer comedy. If I'm watching a comedy, like I said, I go back in time. I haven't watched I don't know the last comedy. I mean, name off a few. I can see if I watched
Don't
them,
Look
I don't
Up.
Cock Blockers. Don't Look Up. Yeah.
That was a satire, though.
Yes. And very funny. Probably going to win some awards.
But, like, all right, let me bring us into the real world real quick. Like, I feel like nowadays comedy movies have to really try hard. They have to do something that's more viral and, like, gets people talking. Like, I feel like comedies have to really try hard to be a comedy nowadays. I don't know if you guys agree.
So I'll take that one really quickly because, and I'm curious for the angry Jimothy's take on this as well. But in terms of like writing a comedy, it's very difficult to do. Like if you were to sit down, if I were to say to the four of us, like, hey guys, let's write a comedy movie. Where the fuck would we begin?
Yeah.
And that's hard. I've written one comedy screenplay. The characters were named Jeff and Eric in it, and you guys were both dill holes.
It's called the SideQuest Podcast.
Yeah.
And we're living it.
Yeah, yes. This is it right now.
But like I'm trying very to think meta. Like I'm you know, I've watched comedy movies recently. And they just, it gets one or two laughs. I feel like growing up.
Well, that's why I don't watch them anymore. They're just not good.
So from my perspective here, I think about how hard it is just to write one funny joke. The process is usually you write this long bit, you know, speaking as a stand-up, you write this long bit. It's like 5 minutes long. And by the time that bit is ready to be like, at a club or something, by the time it's perfect, it's like one line. It's maybe 1 minute. So I think about that and how hard it is to come up with 1 minute of good material for the stage and how hard it must be to come up with 90 minutes. Like, yeah it's hard.
Yeah. I mean,
It been done.
Yeah. I mean, was it easier just back then because it was easier to get a joke or like, Are people too smart now?
Absorbing jokes back then.
I also think back then they weren't so concerned with being canceled or whatever. I mean, even Steve Carell said they couldn't make The Office now because comedy and a lot of comedians you watch. I listen to a lot of podcasts with comedians, Bill Burr and Tom Segura and
Connoisseur.
A bunch of these podcasts and stuff, and they say the biggest thing right now is just they feel like comedians are the last, you know, the last people actually just saying shit to be funny. And all these people are just so offended by every goddamn thing that they don't fully agree with that in movies, they're afraid to push the envelope like they used to do in the 80s or in the 90s, where just go and understand it's a comedy. It's meant to be funny. It's not meant to be taken seriously, or that's, you know, or all that offended me and now I'm gonna cancel this actor or whatever. And you hear a lot of these comedians talk about how, I mean, look at Dave Chappelle. I mean, his whole goal was to piss people off, to make a point. And now I think that's why a lot of movies and studios just don't want to deal with the headache.
I don't know if that's it, because you still like, yeah, that's a good point, but then again, you still have Borat coming out with new movies. You still have Jackass coming out with new movies. So,
yeah, but what is Jackass really? I mean, it's just a bunch of guys hurting.
No, they have ladies now, and that's the difference. There's a female on the Jackass cast. I think that's what's
called a Jillass.
Right.
But I feel like nowadays, like the evolution of comedy has kind of gone from what, like, kind of just good writing to almost like the Jackass early 2000s, where it's more physical. Then it goes to like the stoner jokes of the late 2000s of like Pineapple Express to almost like shock comedy or something, where like now you need a movie or show that's like, it's got to be funny because it's just so ridiculous. You know, it's got to be Facebook worthy or Twitter worthy, whatever it is. Like, it's got to be, you know, shown everywhere. And I feel like some of the writing has suffered. Like, again, to Jeff's point a while ago, is that, like, I feel like some of the comedy movies have suffered a little bit in terms of, like, do you guys go and run to the next comedy movie that's coming out.
I mean, no.
To me, like me personally, no. I'm running to like the Marvel, I'm running to the action, I'm running to the shit that's like, hey, this is worth my money.
But also, I don't think they're like back then when a Farley movie came out, you're like, I'm going to go see the Chris Farley movie.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to go see the Adam Sandler movie or the Bill Murray movie because you wanted to see these particular people. I can't think of anyone right now where I'm like, oh God, I got to go see.
Yeah.
You know,
that comedy movie, whatever.
Because of that actor is in it. Therefore, it's a must. I mean, that's how much weight and that's how much more talented those comedians were than what we have today, I think. And that's, I know with stand-up, when I see, you know, Tom Segura or someone big coming to the city, my younger brother and I love going and seeing, you know, stand-up guys. You get excited because you're going to see that person. And I think now you go to see the comedian actually doing stand-up opposed to, I mean, Jerry Seinfeld, you want to see him live. You don't want to, oh, the new Jerry Seinfeld movie. But hey, if Jerry Seinfeld's coming to Chicago, he's going to sell out.
His last movie was the B movie in like 2006.
Yeah, because people want to go see. And I think
but I agree.
There was a time with movies where, yeah, you want to go see that movie like you want to go see the comedian now.
Yeah.
I think, Jeff, I think it was a little insensitive when you were talking about Chris Farley and you said, that's how much weight.
Ooh,
like we know he had a weight problem. Jeff.
Oops.
Canceled.
All that sorry, weight. Guys. All that weight. So I want to know from Mr. Tom, like, what is your secret formula for a good comedy movie? Like, when you, if you were to write it, if you were to watch one, what's like your key ingredients for a good comedy movie?
Oh God, I can't possibly answer this because I keep wanting to go back to when Justin was saying how it's cyclical, and I think that that was a really good point. And I think that like I like all the genres, and I don't like to stick to just one. And I think that's one of the keys to enjoying comedy is to not get it all from the same like style, the same comedian, and the same writers. Like if you watch a slapstick movie that you like and it was funny, now go watch something more, you know, satirical, more realistic. So I don't even remember the question.
Change like, it up. That question like here's what I, you know, like for me right now in my life, the key ingredients are I need to be caught off guard. It's got to be something I have not thought of before. Not that I'm a funny guy, but like I feel like when I get cut off guard by something that's really funny, like I will sit there and laugh for a long time and I will think about it and I will scream about it. I will tell people about it. Like, I feel like comedy nowadays, it's more like the stupid humor, just the fucking butt ass jokes, whatever it is. Like recently I've been watching Peacemaker with John Cena.
Oh yeah.
And I have not laughed harder for a show. I mean, there's a lot of good comedy shows in, let's say, pre-2022. But, like, for 2022, this is one of the funniest shows I've ever watched. It's just so consistently funny that it's catch me off guard. Like, what the fuck did they just say? I gotta, like, rewind it back and go play it again because it's so stupid and funny. Like, it's gotta be stupid. It's gotta be funny. It's gotta be, like, shit no one's ever heard of. And for me personally, it's gotta be, like, a hard R. Like, I can't go anything less than a PG-13, you know?
I mean, what would you say, Eric, to, you know, I know you and our comedy is somewhat similar for the most part, but just the way when I think of comedy or I think of laughing, it's the weird shit you and I watch on YouTube.
Yeah.
Like, this is a new medium that we didn't have before. Like, Daniel from SL.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't get that in a movie or in stand or really anything.
I feel
you
like
can get it.
Well, let me tell you where you can get
I was just thinking of no, because I've been thinking a lot about that end of the world sketch that we were all obsessed with.
Oh yeah, like that.
How Russia fires the missiles. So I was just going to say you can get it in real life now because that shit's going down.
Heyo, we are current for sure. I you know, I don't know. I feel like it's just the really, for us, I mean, maybe as a group, but also as individuals, it's like the one-off really weird shit We love that. I mean, I love that. It's just like the stuff that no one's ever thought of before, the Tim and Eric of the world, where it's just like stupid ass comedy off the wall, whatever it is, behind the curtains. I don't even know what to call it. It's just like the weird, creepy bullshit comedy that nobody thinks is funny is like what I will find funny. It's almost like laughing at a funeral, I guess, is the best
this,
way to put
love it.
It.
I love it.
This reminds me.
Oh, I
sorry. No, I
I'm going to cut you. No, no. You go first, and I'll interrupt you.
Well, I think you should tell the story.
Oops.
But maybe you were going to tell a different story. But you can tell this story too of the time of I would tell the story of when you came down to visit me in college, and we were watching this ridiculous, silly movie that we love. And there was some normies there, some normal people who just wanted to watch.
Well, most
old
people are normal compared to the four of us.
So yes, okay, so I'll take this ball and run with it really quickly. I know that we're coming up on the end of the episode real soon, but Wes Anderson movies are hilarious for that reason that you just said, Eric. That you can just watch a normal interaction between Adrian Brody and Jason Schwartzman and just be like, that was so awkward, it's hilarious. Audience, Claudia, go watch a Wes Anderson movie. French Dispatch was really good. So to tell the story, to talk the tale of trying to watch Hercules in New York, and these normies are like, you guys got like Wedding Crashers or something?
Old school.
Old school. We're gonna go smoke some cigs on the balcony and drink some Miller Lite. Well, and then we'll watch some Old School or Wedding Crashers or something. And they're like, nah, dog. Hercules in New York.
Great, hilarious movie.
Love it.
Classic.
I mean,
I'd say.
I feel like comedies in general. I just ate a whole handful of Pringles.
Oh, good.
What flavor?
What cheddar? Flavor? Cheddar cheese.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I want to know is from you guys in particular. I feel personally that comedy movies don't get the praise that they deserve. You know, why are they never nominated except for Razzies? Why are they shit on by people in general? I mean, they're funny movies. They're still a movie, but like, I don't know. I feel like they're never there at the awards of any fucking kind because they're so prestigious. But like, I feel like comedy movies deserve awards. I don't know about you guys, but
well,
like,
the award ceremonies are a bunch of bullshit to begin
with.
Yeah. And most of the movies that do the best at the theater are never nominated for anything.
No.
Yet that's what people are going to see. So, you know, there is, I love how South Park just makes fun of award ceremonies and all that. I think recently Seth Rogen just came out talking about the stupidity of these award shows and just stroking egos. And yeah, comedy is an art and it should be recognized. So should sci-fi. So should, you know, some superhero. I mean, it's just, but they want, oh, everything's got to be super dramatized or sad or depressing to really win an award. So I think that a lot of different genres, not just comedy, get shafted because of these ego thrusting,
penis shafted,
yeah,
art smelling.
Fuck you, Dune.
Yeah, yeah, like you know.
I love Dune.
Dune was great.
Was Dune?
Hated
the,
it.
What was that? The music player? No, that was Zune. Never mind.
Oops. Dune. Oh, you goof.
Oops. Would have been great if we had a Zune. But I like Tommy. Shouldn't you know? Comedy movies get awards. Come on,
yes.
There's some really good ones.
The good ones are so, they're these days, they're few and far between. They're really hard to make. And Jeff is 100%, I think, spot on that they don't win awards for the same reason that superhero films don't win awards, sci-fi films don't win awards. It's all these stuck-up Hollywood elites.
Okay, boomers, and we're in 20s. Like, aren't we ready for those awards, though? Like, best superhero movie of the year, best comedy of the year?
Yeah, what people actually are watching and what people are actually enjoying.
If it's not a dramatic film in black and white in a foreign language, like it's not going to get nominated these days.
The pianist.
It seemed like,
well, I gotta say black.
Endgame brought so much joy to most people. It isn't the highest grossing movie at the moment. Yet it gets no awards because it's... But it seemed that was the movie that the general worldwide population said,
okay,
hey, this is
I'm gonna interject really quickly, agree or disagree with me, but what the argument that you're bringing to the table is the equivalent of saying, I'm hungry, I'm gonna go to McDonald's to get a Big Mac, versus I'm gonna go to a scratch kitchen and get a damn good burger. Less people are going to do it because it costs $55.
Yeah, but these movies all cost the same. A comedy and
Marvel, no, they don't. They most certainly do not.
The exact same price.
No, they literally not to make.
Yeah, but to, for the general population to go see, like your analogy with going to get food.
I pay less for Kevin Hart movies.
People go to the cheaper restaurant. Yeah, I agree with that because it's cheaper. But when the people are going to the theater or streaming off, you know, whatever the streaming service, the price is the same. I mean, right now, I don't know what's playing.
But I'm not talking about the, it's not the price, it's the quality. The quality of the Big Mac, of the White Castle, of the Quarter Pounder is going to give you the runs. And you watch Endgame. I loved Endgame. I thought it was amazing. Stop umming at me.
I love it. I'm with you. I think, you know what? So boys, for the last 90 seconds of the show, we'll start with Tom. What is the future of comedy? What do you want to see from comedy movies? What will make you laugh? Like, where are you at in this headspace of comedy right now?
I would love for, I would love to change it up. I'd like to go back to some old styles of comedy that haven't been explored in a while, like some more like modern slapstick. Enough of these like clever rom-coms where every line is delivered by a witty genius. Like, it's not enough of these. I want to see like some more satire, some more slapstick, and maybe even some more like absurd stuff make it into the mainstream. That's what I would like to see. And I won't be satisfied until I see it.
Oh yeah. Well, don't hang tight. Oops. Mr. Packard Walsh over there. What do you want to see in the future of comedies?
I want to completely agree with Angry Vincent over there.
Oops.
I think the integration of different genres is kind of really important, that you can have a movie that is, as Jeff said earlier, whether it be a superhero movie or a super depressing, bleak movie, there's moments of hilarity in it. I think that kind of would be fun.
Okay. And Jeff, where are you at on future comedies?
I wish there'd be more of that Farley-esque, you know, Peter Sellers, goofy, you know, physical comedy that we're lacking, so lacking lately.
Okay. Like that. I just want jokes that are hilarious. I don't care who delivers the lines, what is the circumstance, whatever it is. If I hear something I've never heard before and it makes me laugh, usually I'm laughing for like the next week and I'm talking about it and I'm trying to say it on my own. I don't care what it is, like slapstick, humor, whatever. Just give it to me. Just give me some good, clever comedy material that I've never heard before, and I will be a happy little tiny teeny boy.
Give it to him, daddy.
Oops. All right, boys and girls and ladies and gents and boomers of all kind, thanks for joining us on this very fun episode. Tom, thanks so much for joining us. We loved having you here. Thank you so much.
Does this mean we don't have time for Enter the Farleyverse? Because that was like a whole 20 minutes I had planned.
Oh boy. Yeah, we'll have that in the extra DVD bonus release of this. Yes, we will have you back. That'll be the main topic. But until then, go give us a follow, like, subscribe, share, whatever the fuck you do out there in the, what is it, metaverse now? Who the fuck even knows? But Tom,
oh God,
you've got to do some type of thing for us. And Justin, Jeff, I'm going to put on you to make this happen. What are we doing?
I want to hear. Do you got something, Jeff? Because mine is bullshit.
No, Justin, it seemed like you had something.
He's got it.
I want to hear a 10-second joke from Tom, followed by a noise of a member in the audience responding.
Okay. I think Eric,
I'll be
Justin,
the audience.
I should be the audience.
Oh, okay.
Let's do it. You got 10
Eric's
seconds.
Gonna be the audience?
Well,
all three of us, and you're telling the joke, so we're your audience, and we'll make will make really serious sounds at the end.
I'm going to deliver this joke in the style of Norm MacDonald, and I am a horrible impressionist. So, all right, you ready?
Yes.
We're ready.
All right. Everyone's talking about these McDonald's menu hacks. Have you heard about these McDonald's menu hacks? Yeah, I got a McDonald's menu hack for you. This is my favorite one. Yeah, go to McDonald's. Keep driving. Go to Portillo's instead.